In the last session, we talked about those inappropriate dependencies as we were talking about the subject of helping people identify their buttons. And today, we're going to continue that discussion. And in some ways, when you have people come, you can go through all of these questions that we're going through in issues in one session. But it could actually take you 2-2.5 hours. Or you can, like even these presentations, do with like one part of the presentation first, and then the second part of the presentation next. You know, as you're helping people identify their buttons, you're also going to help people see what their understanding of the home life flow. And what I mean by that is you know, a lot of times people will be raised to be early, people will raised to be late, because that's what their parents were and that's what they saw, or they're on time. And it's fascinating, in my own marriage, when we would go to church or any event, my mother and father were about a half hour early to everything. In church, we were the first one there. We were there before anybody was there. We had a seat. There was a balcony at our church. We had a seat. And in that seat, we were there, you know, half hour early no matter what. And it is really interesting because my wife, their family, was the last to get there. When their family showed up in church, it was time to begin church. Now, when we were first married, you could just picture what that was like. She would be late for, like in my mind, everything, even if they were right on time. To me, that was late. And for me, I wanted to be early for everything. And we had to get self-awareness of how that would go. Because at first, when we weren't really aware of a lot of issues, we're just doing this inappropriate dependency control on each other. She's like, half hour early, and I'm like, you're late. But again, we needed to come to that self-awareness and find that time that we could compromise on of what we wanted to be. Or here's the other thing, holidays. You know, and I find that so interesting. You're doing pre-marriage counseling or marriage counseling, and you'll find that to one person that you're talking to, the holidays were a precious time, very special. And it's where Daddy was home, and everything was nice, and everybody got the gifts that they wanted and they liked. You know, and then on the other hand, the next person, holidays was a time of tension. Holidays were something that we just endured. So now you get this couple together, and in one family, we loved putting up Christmas lights. And the other family, Christmas lights were a drag. Or you'll have, if you talk about holidays, you'll talk about, someone will say, on holidays, there was nothing tension in our home. So now, 20 years later in the marriage, when it comes to Christmas light time, the guy doesn't want to do it. So then you're saying, now why don't you want to spend 2 hours doing Christmas lights for your wife? Well, it's because Christmas lights, for whatever reason, create all sorts of internal hurt and tension from something that happened 20 years ago. The buttons. Or vacations. You know, we never took vacations. We just worked. We took vacations every year. You see, these are just issues. You bring them up and you talk about them and you'll help people identify those buttons in their lives. Well, here's another one in the home life flow. You know, you'll have, let's just use the word truth here. So you're living in life and everything like that. And in the area of truth, in the home, or talking, communications. You know, one is, your word is your word, but it's somewhat situational in what you mean by what you say. Or another family was, or another person was raised, whatever you say is absolutely what you mean, no matter what. Okay. And then they marry someone who's more situational. Well, I meant that because of this. Or you get relational. That people talk in their home life, in that home life flow, out of things that sort of please each other, and or another, legalistic. I said that. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. I said exactly that. And the words are very legalistic. Now, can you imagine you're in a home and the home life flow is not just on time issues, but it's communication types issues. And how people are raised relate a lot to it. Even such things as birth order can affect some of that. Okay, here's another area, emotions. We talked about emotions earlier. In some homes, emotions are always transparent. In some homes, emotions are closed. In some homes, the father is closed, the mother is transparent, opposite way in other homes. Then a child or a person now before you is, they have a definition. I'm like my mother. I don't share my feelings, or my father. I don't share my feelings. And so now you have, and usually what happens so often is that the person who's open marries somebody who's closed, and, you know, because they sort of find that interesting. So then the two people have to find a way to both be open enough, but not too open, or you'll find inconsistency. Open and transparent about certain things, but not others. That area we keep still about. Or others are just plain dishonest with their emotions. They don't even know how they feel, and if they did, they wouldn't tell. So here you'll have it. You'll have somebody out there, and you're helping them. They're coming to you, and you'll find that many of their buttons relate to just simple things. Transparency, closed, inconsistent, dishonest, unclear, all those emotional things. And when you help people find out how they actually are, you can help them in a big way find out what their buttons are. Here's another area. You get someone together and you do a little counseling and you ask them, let's talk about pleasing cues. Oh, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, are you one who pleases? Are you one who receives? Are you one who gives and receives? Are you one who gives with conditions? Are you one who does not receive? Now, it's hilarious at times to hear a married couple or a family where people have a whole different understanding of the pleasing cues. So this is what you have. You have maybe a wife or husband who is into pleasing, and the other is into receiving. So eventually what happens is the one who pleases gets burned out. The one who receives takes advantage. And you'll find, or the giving with conditions. Oh, I'll please or give to you, but only if this happens. And you'll find that a lot of times in sexual politics, you know, we're not going to make love. I'm not going to make love with you unless this happens. Or, and then the tit versus tat deal where you're just like going back and forth and there's kind of keeping score. Or you'll have like, you know, no matter what I do, the person doesn't receive. But then how they grew up, and how they thought about pleasing one another in their family life or in school or as they kind of matured is a big factor of where some of those buttons are actually going to be located. Oh, here's another one, relationship style. You know, you have an introvert, hypothetically married to an extrovert, and the introvert is always being saved by the extrovert, and the extrovert is always being like, saved by the introvert. So they have this sort of hidden agenda conflict that relates to their relationship style. Or you'll have like someone midline and they're married to an introvert and extrovert, and the midline person's always like, balance, balance, balance. You're always so quiet. You're always so talkative. You get the point. And those become areas of buttons. Here's another one. And this relates to, you know, we talk a lot about be fruitful and multiply, human relationships and all those things. You know, as we're kind of jumping around, you'll find all these apply in that cultural mandate. Family values, career values. How many children were you raised in your kind of family, as a child, you were raised in with a family of how many children? Now, that can go either way. We had 10 children, and no way am I going to want to be in a family with 10 children with my own. And then the other person, we had 2 children, but we want 10. Okay, now I'm just joking here a little bit. But my point is, some of those issues relate to life or issues related to women, children, and work. And those other issues. I mean, when I grew up, my mother worked in a factory. Okay? So I have I didn't see my mother as much. Whereas my own wife has stayed home and raised all of our kids without working outside the home. Okay, so, and people will have different expectations. There's roles modeled in the home. You know, like, how was the father figure in the home and the mother figure? What if there wasn't a father figure in the home? What if the father figure wasn't there? It's a single mom or a divorced mom or vice versa. All of those family values and then how they fit with even career and work, you bring them out there and people's buttons will be related to many of these types of topics. You know, another area is sexuality values. And I'm not talking about the practice of sex. I'm just talking about sexuality values, such as what does it mean femininity? And then the big topic of modesty. And it's fascinating when they do polls on these subjects. It's hilarious. In every society defining modesty, there's a different standard. Well, what if you came from a home where modesty was much more seriously taken in terms of more restrictive, but then the person that person is marrying had a much more, you know, loose understanding of modesty? I'm not talking looseness sexually. I'm just saying that whole differing expectations or masculinity. In our home, the men didn't cry. You know, in our home, the men were very expressive. Or maybe in some home, the men were more emasculated. You know, those are negative words, emasculation, men don't cry and all that. And I'm not even going to try to comment on all that, but what you will find is who someone is and how their identity was put together many times in their past life, and they bring to a current relationship, and many of the buttons that they have are in those areas. Or here's the sexual practice values. In some homes, you'll find as a pastor, you know, sexuality was very shameful for whatever reason. Even though it was practiced, that's why there were children, and there was different things, but there was like an area of shame to it, something dirty you don't talk about. In another home, it's talked about freely. So then you have like one home has that thing, and if you talk about it, you know, people, you know, the spouse will, you know, not be comfortable. And the other, if you don't talk about it, they won't be comfortable. You know, you have all those issues. Or masturbation. You know, masturbation is a fascinating subject because, you know, even though it's quite practiced by almost everybody, more and more male and female today, people have different understandings of what that is. So in a assessment, you might bring that out. Now, on this sexual practice values, you know, in some ways, some already are not going to even have the comfortability to even talk about it, like the shame issues or other issues. You know, we'd rather not. A lot of times on this slide, you know, it's fascinating. If you're over 40, they don't want to even do this slide. If someone is under 40, I have found, they want to do this slide and they don't feel bad about it. And it's a fascinating thing. And yet, sexuality, sexual identity, sexual image of the body, marriage and commitment, or even something as the liturgy of relationships. And, you know, this is my second relationship, or I first went out at this age and that age, I lost my virginity here. Maybe a lot of times when they weren't even believers yet. And all of that stuff is there. And a lot of times it's hidden and buried. And when it's buried, buttons just get pushed over some of these issues. You know, as I think about these questions, what they really are is just tools for you in pastoral care. You can utilize these tools, you can ask questions, but your goal is not to say necessarily what's exactly right, what's not right, and sometimes you got to be careful because the people you're talking to will try to get you into like the referee thing. Like, you know, they'll try to have you bite on a certain subject, and they want you to say that's better than that. And there are things that, you know, if you can offer balanced biblical counsel, great. But what time does someone eat, if they're late or if they're early? A lot of that stuff, you know, what's definition of modesty? Is modesty to the general population, or modesty is specifically the church I'm going to? You know, and there'll be debates all the time. But understand this. So many people have those buttons inside of them, and they just live miserable lives because they're just playing out those buttons almost against each other. And Satan, I believe, has a heyday as he gets people to just sort of fight over things that really, if they talk about it, they realize, okay, this is who I am, and we can come to a compromised position. We can respect each other's background and who they are. So these are important things. this is the type of presentation to look at again, and the last one, and you can even use these slides as you're sort of helping people, asking questions, if you have a little PowerPoint or just print them out. These are tools for you as you help people understand what sets them off, and then helping people to identify that and finding a way to get along with one another. In next sessions, we're going to keep working on things like, if you find a conflict now, buttons were so pushed that there's a conflict. We have sessions on making a peace fire and finding out how to help that. Find out how there's peace again. We also have sections on boundaries, appropriate boundaries, and many more things as this course unfolds.